Wonderful to be together this morning to worship our God. We really appreciate those who are visiting here who've come out to honor God and glorify His name with us here at Eastside this morning. Great opportunity, as every opportunity is, to be together to do the things to show our love to God that He has asked us to do. We are really looking forward to the gospel meeting that's to start this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And again, tomorrow night and Tuesday night at 7. As was announced already, Brother Bill Hall is going to be with us. And most all of us that know Bill as a gospel preacher truly enjoy just sitting at his feet and listening to him in his inimitable and humble way share from God's Word. And we're looking forward to the series of lessons, which is going to be on pursuing true humility, something I think that's much needed in our day and time. So I invite you to be back at 3 o'clock this afternoon and bring somebody with you. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about faith that is sincere, unfeigned, genuine, unhypocritical. Over the years, I've observed too many times than I care to count a situation like this where I know somebody who's a member of the church where I am, and this goes all the way back to the time when I was a teenager, and they seem to be a solid Christian. Solid enough, at least. They attend all of the services. They sing all the songs. They might participate in other ways. They're doing good deeds, maybe even teaching classes. Maybe it's a lady who's teaching the little ones or whatever. And they seem to be, you know, like everybody else. They're Christians. They're serving the Lord. And everything seems to be going just fine. And you know, we're headed to heaven together. And then something happens in this person's life. Maybe it's a tragedy of some sort. Maybe it's a sickness of some sort. But more often, it's some sort of temptation that they have difficulty overcoming. And so, suddenly, they've departed from the faith. They've left the Lord. And if I could count the number of people that that's happened to in my lifetime, I'm afraid the number would just be depressing. It's a sad thing. As I think about that, and I've thought about it just this last week with respect to some that I've known recently, how can a person who appears to have faith in God, a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is daily using their faith, supposedly, to live their life with, how can this thing come up, whatever it is, and just suddenly, it seems like, they're no longer faithful? Maybe they're just out in the world or whatever. How does that happen? I do not believe that genuine faith behaves that way. But I do believe that there are kinds of faith and levels of faith that do behave that way. And the problem is, I believe, most of the time at least, that the faith that this person has or seems to have had is not really been genuine. Has not really been sincere. Maybe the whole time. Jesus described faith that was little, often contrasting it with faith that is great. Little faith is about as useful to us as non-existent faith. It will help you out about as much in the day of trial and the day of temptation. Little faith will be about as much use to you as no faith at all. And I say that because that's sort of what Jesus indicates, or at least what the gospel writers indicate. You remember the story when Jesus is going over the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, and he's, you know, been busy, and he goes to sleep. His head's on a pillow. He's in the boat, and he just goes to sleep. And the storm comes up, and the disciples are scared to death, literally, and they wake Jesus up. "Don't you care that we're perishing?" And of course, in the famous instance, Jesus gets up and rebukes the winds and the waves. "Peace be still." And all of a sudden, there's this great calm. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in recording this, give us, as they often do. A little bit different information, not contradictory information, but helps us see the whole picture in a clearer way. So Matthew's account says, when Jesus turned to the disciples, he said, "Oh, you of little faith." Oh, you of little faith. Luke's account says, when he turned to the disciples, he says, "Where is your faith?" Now, if somebody wonders how you can harmonize those, he could easily have said both. "You have little faith, where is your faith?" Okay, so it's not a contradiction. But Mark's account is most interesting of all, because where Matthew and Luke have Jesus wondering, you know, how's your faith so small, or where is your faith, Mark's account says, how is it that you have no faith? So that's why I say there's not much difference between little faith and no faith, right? The apostles here seem to have been in both categories at once, and it seems to have done them little good in facing the trial of the storm. I mean, think about it. They have been with Christ now for some good time. They've witnessed many, many miracles. They perceived that he is truly the Son of God, that he has all of this power, and the storm comes up. Where would you put your faith? Where has your faith been all of this time? Supposedly, it's been in the Son of God. And yet, again, they're terrified, scared to death. "Don't you care that we are perishing?" they say. What's the problem? They had little faith, which was equivalent to no faith. You see the problem? And so that's exactly what happens many times in the lives of Christians, whose faith is a little. It amounts to having virtually no faith when the difficulties of life come. And they come. So if we're not living by faith day by day, if it's not genuine, if it's not strong, if it's not real, it'll do us little good or no good when those times come. But the one thing that is more worthless, if that's even allowed, I'm not sure that's correct grammar right there, but something being more worthless than worthless. If there's anything that's more worthless than little faith, it is fake faith. Faith that is feigned. Faith that is pretended. Faith of the hypocrite. In Job chapter 8, in verse 13, Bildad said that the hope of the hypocrite shall perish. And in Job chapter 27, in verse 8, 9, and 10, Job asked, "What is the hope of the hypocrite, though he may gain much, if God takes away his life? Will God hear his cry when trouble comes upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call on God?" See, here's the problem with somebody that's been a hypocrite. He doesn't really have faith in God. He pretends to. He wants people to think he does. He acts like he does. He's that actor that Jesus talks about. He doesn't really have faith. It's just fake. And so his hope amounts to nothing and less than nothing. He has false hope. And it all comes back on him eventually to destroy him spiritually. Because when the real difficulties come, when the real trial comes, when the real temptation comes, he's got nothing to hang on to. And he's got less than nothing to hang on to, because what he's hung on to is just how he appears before men, the show. And that's where he's put his confidence. And it won't work. He doesn't know how to call on God, because he really has been faking his faith this whole time. That's what Job says at the end of those verses. Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call on God? He doesn't know how to go to God for help, because he really doesn't believe in him. And he rather believes in this lifestyle, that I'm just living this life to show men how great I am, to win acceptance of men, to be in the crowd. In the Scriptures, faith and love are two things that must be genuine to be effective. A number of passages teach this. With regard to love, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, the Apostle Peter writes this: Since you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently from a pure heart. Note that word sincere in the New King James Version. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 6, Paul, in talking about how his own life committed himself as a minister of Christ, he says, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. Sincere love. And then, while we know that love, if it's not real, if it's not sincere, if it's not genuine, is not really worth very much, the same is true of faith. And that's what we're saying this morning. In two passages that Paul writes to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:5, 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul uses this kind of language. He says in 1 Timothy 1:5, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Sincere faith. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Genuine faith is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I'm persuaded is in you also. What is? Genuine faith. Now, here's something I want to share with you that I think is interesting concerning the original language here. And that is, in the last five verses that we've looked at where we've had phrases like sincere faith, genuine faith, love being without hypocrisy. All of those instances in the Greek language, the word is the same word. Sincere, genuine, unhypocritical. And it comes, the word itself, if we brought it over to English and just sort of transliterated it, brought the, you know, the Greek letters and made them into corresponding English letters, it would pretty much say unhypocrisy. That's pretty much the word, with a little bit of difference, but that's pretty much it. Faith that is sincere, that is unfeigned, that is genuine, that is unhypocritical, folks, is what we need. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but from the number of people that I've witnessed over the years, apparently lose their faith when the trial or the temptation or whatever it is comes into their lives. I would fear that I'm speaking to some people this morning whose faith is not real. Whose faith is pretended. And I want you to know this morning that it will not work. You will not stand when that temptation comes. And everybody around you will act surprised. And everybody will say things like, well, I thought he or she was doing so well in the faith. What happened? And here's what happened. Your faith wasn't real. You were faking it. I don't want to see that happen anymore. I'm tired of seeing it happen. And I know the Lord is. Jesus preached and preached and preached about hypocrisy. It means something, what he said to us. We can't pretend it, not and go to heaven. Sincere, unfeigned, genuine, and unhypocritical faith is faith that, first of all, is based on facts. Let me share with you some things that characterize this kind of faith. Faith that is genuine, that is real, is faith that is based on what you've been taught according to the Word of the Lord. It's not faith that you just got from your parents. It's not faith that, yeah, I believe that because everybody else believes that. That's fake faith. Real faith is faith that is based on the Word of God itself, where you've dug it out of the Word of God, or you've heard the Word of God, and you believe it because God said it. And you trust it because God said it. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul says in verse 6, "As you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught." The faith that you're established in is the faith that you've been taught. There's the solid faith. There's something that'll stand when times get tough, when temptation gets hot. And therefore, it is the Word of God that we must genuinely and really desire. I mean, just to lay it out, if to us, you know, Bible study is a drudgery, it's something that we've got to do, and we seldom would voluntarily get our Bible class lesson, for instance, or study on our own, or try to study the Bible with somebody else, or whatever it might be. If that's not our interest, we probably have a real problem with our faith. Because a faith that's not built on the Word of God and a love for the Word of God is fake. It's fake. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Right? The attitude that we should have about the Word of God then is one of a great desire for it, a burning desire for the Word of God, to learn it, to know it, to share it. As newborn babes, Peter will say to us in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So faith that is real is faith that is based on the Word. Faith that is real, that is genuine, that is sincere, is a faith that we follow. It's not something that's there, and I know I should be doing that, but I'm not really living that. That's not how I roll, you know. That's not real faith. Real faith is something we live by day. We walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 10 and verse 38 says that the just shall live by faith. And God says, if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who have faith to the saving of the soul. The kind of faith he's talking about there is a faith then that we live by. The just shall live by faith. We're directed day by day. Every day we're facing things. Temptations, troubles. We have needs. We have desires that are good and right. We take them before God in prayers of faith. We're making decisions based upon what our faith directs us to do. We're living it day by day. It's not something that, I'm a Christian and that's what I do at church, and then, you know, the rest of the week I'm whatever else. But I don't think about that anymore until I go back to church, maybe, and then I'll think about it then. Genuine faith is faith that is followed. It is faith that is lived. In fact, you live by it, is what Hebrews 10:38 says. It is a faith that we use and we constantly use to fend off Satan's attacks. You remember in that great chapter in which Paul warns us, Ephesians chapter 6, about our adversary Satan and the power that he has. But he assures us that we can fight against him victoriously because of the armor that God has supplied us. And so he describes the armor, the panoply of God, the whole armor of God. And he says, take the shield of faith, that with it you may quench all the fiery darts of the evil ones. Everything Satan throws at you, you can stop it with faith. You see that? This is the victory that overcomes the world, John will write. Even our faith. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. This is how we're to be living every day. And so here's the thing. If that's what we're doing, everyone in this room who's an adult is going to be tempted today. You've probably been tempted many times already. Satan doesn't give up on us. You know, he certainly doesn't give up on us just because we're in this building. So we're being tempted regularly. How are we meeting those temptations? Is it through faith in God, through faith in His Word? All of us face trials. You've had trials in your life this past week. Emotional trials. Maybe you've got in a disagreement with somebody. Maybe you've had a family problem. Maybe you've been sick. Whatever it might be. How'd you face those? You use your faith to face those? Or do you face those with your own strength? You see, the person that's using his faith all the time to face those trials and the temptations, the person that's using those to fend off Satan with regularity, is likely not going to come to a point in his life where Satan attacks him with something and he drops his shield. It's not going to happen. If he's been using it all the while. Let's use our faith to fight against Satan on a regular basis. And then when the big test comes, we'll have the practice. Faith that is genuine is faith that brings us close to God. And here maybe then is the acid test of all of this. How close to God are you? And I understand that when you talk about closeness to God, there is a bit of a feeling that goes with that. There's emotion to that. There ought to be. It's more than that, but that's involved in it. How close are you really to God? Is He ever present in your life? Do you know that He's right there with you through your trials and tribulations? Do you know that whatever happens to you, that you can lift up your eyes into the hills and your help will come, as we sang in the song. That He's there. That however lonely you may be, whatever tragedy is facing you, whatever temptation is facing you, however difficult your path may be, that God the Father is but a whispered prayer away at any moment, for He's right there. Do you know that? That's genuine faith. That's the faith that we have and can have because Christ came and made a way for us to go to God. Made a way for us to draw near to God. Let us draw near with a true heart, the Hebrew writer says. Let us draw near with a true heart in fullness of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's draw near to God. In Ephesians chapter 3, this was the prayer of Paul for the Ephesians. He speaks in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11 of the eternal purpose which God accomplished in Christ Jesus. He says in verse 12, "In whom we also have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him." We have boldness and access to God with confidence through faith. It's not that I think that God's there. It's not that I think that He's close to me, that I'm close to Him. It's I know it. Through faith, we have boldness and access with confidence. And Paul goes on and prays, verse 14, "This reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." There is a closeness to God, where Christ is dwelling in you through faith, and you are strong because of it. You're strong because of that faith that's in you, that closeness to God, for He is always there, and you are always relying on Him to be there. That's closeness to God. Faith that is unfeigned and genuine is a faith that longs for glory. Such a faith will not easily give up. Allow the devil to destroy it. Because heaven's too wonderful. And your hope is too real. And nothing in this life is worth giving up that life for. Peter will write to us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, that in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, that you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, the faith that is going to take you to heaven is going to be a tested faith. And it can never be tested. It will never be tested if you're faking it the whole way. The faith that is valuable, the faith that takes you to heaven, is the faith that is a tested faith. In fact, the word that's translated in the New King James here, genuineness, the King James translates that proven, your proven faith. And the English Standard Version gets the best of both worlds when it says, tested genuineness. I like that translation. The tested genuineness of your faith. You know it's genuine, you know it's real, because it's been proven. You've taken it through the fire with you, or it's taken you through the fire. You know it's good. And because it's so genuine and so precious, like gold, you hold on to it because it leads to heaven. That's what Peter says. It'll be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, he says in verse 8, not having seen you love, though now you do not seeing, yet believing, having faith, believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So may I ask you this morning, is your faith real? You may not know, but if anybody knows, it would be you and God. Is your faith real? Is it sincere, genuine, unfeigned, unhypocritical? The tragedy of fake faith is in living a life that is make-believe, that is hollow, that is unfulfilling, and that will ultimately lead you to eternal damnation. The beauty and the glory of a genuine faith is that both your life now and the life that you will experience that is the life to come are real and will be filled with the glory of Christ. Look into your heart this morning, my friends. Examine it. Is your faith real, or are you faking it? We'd ask you to reach out for that which is genuine. If you're a Christian this morning and you've not been really living a life of faith, just confess that. Confess it right now. Confess it to yourself, first of all. Admit it to yourself. It would be good if you'd come forward and admit it to this group, and we'll pray with you and for you. We can help you. But most of all, admit it to God, who is all-powerful. And come to Him as the disciples did long ago. Say, increase our faith. We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.